Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday, the 30th of March, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster. I am your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL 1330, and we are always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We are live weekday mornings from 9 to 10, and we re-air our program from 7 to 8 in the evening here on KJLL. The lineup for today's show includes a leadoff newsmaker interview with Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn. Then we'll talk with Gail Hartman of the group Save the Scenic Santa Ritas. Then at the bottom of the hour, C.J. Karamarjan, spokesperson for Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, will be joining us, giving us an update on the Congresswoman's condition. Then we'll round out the show with a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. The Buckmaster Show is primarily interview-driven, but it is a talk show, and that means there's always room for you, the listener, to make a comment and offer a question. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 529-3508. Well, once again, Tom Horn is in the middle of the controversy surrounding the ethnic studies in the Tucson Unified School District. An editorial in Sunday's Arizona Republic took issue with the Attorney General's characterization of a recent protest by Latinos outside the state capitol. Mr. Horn sent out a news release last week under the subject line, "Horn releases Raza Mob Video." The video shows a group of what appeared to be Latino protesters chanting and following Tom Horn outside of the Capitol. Well, the Republic takes issue with Mr. Horn calling the protesters a, quote, thuggish mob. The newspaper characterizes the protesters as peaceful and claims the video reinforces that claim. Yesterday, Tom Horn answered the Republic with an op-ed piece saying the Republic unfairly attacked him over the mob comment. Attorney General Tom Horn joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Mr. Horn, thanks for being with us.
It's always great to be with you, Bill.
Tell me how you're viewing this whole incident today.
Well, the first thing I want to do is urge your listeners to view the video. It's at azag.gov, AZ for Arizona, AG for Attorney General, azag.gov, and they will see that I was actually leaving the Capitol, and a reporter for Univision approached me and asked me to do an interview in Spanish, as I often do for them, and asked me to come back to where his cameraman was. As I walked back to where his cameraman was, some of the so-called protesters spotted me as an opponent of Raza Studies, of the Mexican-American Raza Studies. Raza, you know, means the race in Spanish. And a crowd totally surrounded me, the front part of which was within touching distance, screaming at the top of their lungs so that the interview, could not be heard, thereby preventing the interview with Univision. After the attempt, as I walked to my car, they followed me there. I think that the best way for your listeners to view what occurred is to actually view the video at azag.gov. And so my issue with the Republic, number one, was that they totally mischaracterized what occurred, and I think it was rather shocking that the Republic editorial board would support a mob action of what occurred there. My second argument with the Republic was that they characterized it as my press release as being anti-Latino, which is utterly crazy. My argument was with a small group of radicals for, first of all, supporting a program in the Tucson schools, which I think is extremely dysfunctional, and secondly, for their behavior, to claim that all Latinos, because of their race, would be on the side of the Republic is utterly crazy. I know lots of Latinos who are much more conservative than I am, and certainly a large number of Latinos would totally disapprove of the action of that mob.
The Republic also took issue over your use of the term Raza in the news release, and they say it has an incendiary tinge that a man in Mr. Horn's position should recognize.
Well, until recently, that's what they called the course. It was called Mexican-American Raza Studies and referred to, in short, as Raza Studies, as a common practice among the people in the school district.
So
certainly I didn't make up the term Raza Studies. I would have never guessed that someone would name a course after the words in another language for the race.
And you say in your op-ed piece yesterday that you know lots of Latinos who are much more conservative than you are.
Yes, that's correct.
Did you, let me go back to this video. Did you feel at any time that your safety was being threatened?
Personally, I didn't, but a lot of people viewing it did, and I got a lot of emails from people saying I should have guards with me, but I don't do that. Personally feel fine, but I disapprove of the conduct, and I think part of my responsibility is to bring it to the attention of the public so they'll know how these people behave, and the philosophy that they teach in the Raza course. This is not an isolated incident. As you know, Bill, channels 4 and 9 filmed and broadcast a play done by students in the Raza Studies course called The Killing of Tom Horn, in which a student puts on a mask, which is my picture, and in the end of the play, he's dead on the ground. When I came down to do a news conference, the schools actually let the kids out so that they could cause a commotion on the streets. As you know, some of them were ultimately convicted of trespass. And when Margaret Garcia Dugan came down to give a speech after Dolores Huerta gave a speech saying Republicans hate Latinos, and my deputy, Margaret Garcia Dugan, gave a speech saying, I'm a proud Republican, a proud Latina, and I don't hate myself, and gave a very high-level speech that was not partisan, telling kids to be skeptical of what they hear and to avoid stereotypes. The Raza kids stood up, turned their backs to her, put their fists in the air, and when the principal asked them to sit down and listen, they walked out on their own principal. So this kind of rude behavior is an essential part of the Raza Studies course, which holds up Che Guevara as a role model. Che Guevara, as you know, was a revolutionary part of the Cuban government and then revolutionary in Latin America, promoting the kind of communist government where if you and I disagree, one of us ends up going to prison. They hold him up as a role model. They teach this kind of rude behavior, and I think, you know, to succeed as an adult, you have to know how to deal with disagreements in a civil way. They're teaching these kids to be in your face, to treat people rudely, and I think it's going to prevent them from having successful adulthoods, and it's a very extremely dysfunctional form of education.
Mr. Horn, we have a question from a caller. Would you be willing to take some questions?
I'd love to take questions.
Okay, we're going to switch, and I believe the caller is Bill, and he has a question about the firing of the Fiesta Bowl chairman, and I think he has a legal question for you. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, well, maybe Mr. Horn will take a different turn. I'm sure you're tired of talking about the other. In the paper this morning, they talked about firing the CEO of the Fiesta Bowl, which it sounds like for some illegal campaign contribution. Will there be some information about where those dollars went and how this was done?
Well, as the as the Attorney General with an active criminal investigation underway, I'm precluded, unfortunately, from commenting on the facts of the case. It's frustrating for me because I was superintendent of schools for 8 years, and I was in that role. I was able to be totally open, talk about everything, and my as Bill knows, my style was to be completely transparent and always answer questions right away. When I got calls from reporters, I always answered them right away. As Attorney General, I'm precluded from doing that regarding the facts of an ongoing investigation, other than to say that I am appreciative of the Fiesta Bowl board for creating an independent group headed by former Supreme Court Justice Ruth McGregor that conducted a very thorough investigation. I'm appreciative to the independent group for the investigation. It's very thorough. It's helpful. And you can read the full report at the Fiesta Bowl website. There's a lot of details there. It's a very, very large, comprehensive, detailed report.
Thank you, Bill, for that question. Another caller who did not want to go on the air wants to know about the Elder Abuse Task Force that you formed recently.
Yes, we call it the Task Force Against Senior Abuse, or TASA. And if anybody knows or suspects of any senior abuse, they can call our office. We have a person assigned full-time to take those calls. Her name is Britt James. And then she is in touch in turn with people in all of the relevant divisions who are experts in their own area as well as in senior abuse. So we have somebody in the criminal section. We have somebody in consumer protection. We have someone in Medicaid fraud and so on. And they all work together to put a high priority on the prevention and prosecution of senior abuse, which is a very serious problem in Arizona. We seem to be ground zero for a lot of this, and some many seniors are especially vulnerable, and we urge people who suspect anything to call our hotline at the Department of at the Attorney General's office.
Tom Horn is with us on the Buckmaster Show, coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. Going back to the Arizona Republic, they're making a big deal out of the merit selection judges. The merit selection system, does it need revision? It's not been played up as much here in our Tucson papers, but it seems to be a big issue up in Phoenix. Where do you come down on that issue?
Well, it affects Pima County as well as Maricopa County, because the merit selection of judges applies to Pima as well as Maricopa counties, not to the smaller counties. I am an opponent of electing judges. I'm old enough to have practiced in Maricopa County when we did elect judges, and there was always the fear that you were going into court against someone who may have been active in the campaign of the judge, and then the fear that you wouldn't get a fair hearing. So I think the merit selection system is a great improvement over electing judges, and I've always been opposed to electing judges, having experienced what it was like to practice law in the courts. I was a litigator in a system where other lawyers may have been active in the political campaigns of the judges. Beyond that, whether there are some refinements that are appropriate for merit selection, I haven't gotten into that fight, but I am opposed to electing judges.
How is your job going? I've got about a minute left to go. How do you like the job?
Oh, it's great, Bill. You know, I was a litigator for 30 years. I used to say I wouldn't read a contract unless people were fighting over it. And then I took a kind of 8 years off as superintendent of schools, although I was heavily involved in some cases, including the Horn versus Flores case that you're familiar with. I participated in the briefing on that. But I'm back to practicing law full time, and that's really my nature. It's what I enjoy doing, and I think we're going to do some very good things in the Attorney General's office.
Okay, Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn has been our guest on the Buckmaster Show. Always a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Tom Horn has been with us, coming up on 19 minutes now past the hour. We'll be talking about the Rosemont Mine. Hear from Gail Hartman of Save the Scenic Santa Ritas. That's next. Stay with us.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at ferroamorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
Coming up on 24 minutes past the hour, the board of the Greater Vail Area Chamber of Commerce, whose 100 members include Rosemont Copper and the leading adversary group of Rosemont, save the scenic Santa Ritas, recently voted 6-0 not to endorse or oppose the mine. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Gail Hartman, president of Save the Scenic Santa Ritas, which opposes the proposed open-pit mine on private and public land in the Santa Rita Mountains, about 30 miles southeast of Tucson. Gail Hartman, thanks for being with us.
You're most welcome.
As you know, we had Rod Pace, CEO of Rosemont, on our Buckmaster Show last week, and he didn't believe the Vail Chamber vote was a big deal. What do you think?
Well, Rosemont tried very hard to get that vote. They really did, and that's, I guess you have to say, one of their strengths. They have the manpower to really get in there and push a lot of things like this. But I was pleased that the chamber decided to stay neutral. I think that was the appropriate thing to do, although many people in that community are very opposed to this mine as well. But most chambers, with the exception of the Sonoyta Elgin Chamber, who has endorsed us, most others have stayed neutral, or I think actually a couple of them have supported Rosemont, the distant ones.
Give us an overview of where we are, from your point of view, in this fight against Rosemont.
Well, the big thing is what's called the draft environmental impact statement that the Forest Service will be producing, and it's been delayed and delayed and delayed because this is a very complex and controversial issue. It will probably come out at sometime at the end of this year, and we really don't know what it will say. But because this is so complex, we are quite sure that there will be a lot of mitigation required. The Forest Service will require it, and that may make the whole process fairly difficult for Rosemont. I mean, we have to remember that this is really not a good deal for Southern Arizona. As we like to say, the copper goes to China, the profits go to the mostly foreign investors, and we get left with a huge hole in the ground and a 50-story high mountain of waste that will obliterate a tiny valley, a lovely valley. And that's not even talking about water. So even if we say that water isn't an issue, which it is, this is not something that's going to be very helpful for us.
Well, Mr. Pace has said that this would be state-of-the-art, this mine, and as far as the mine tailings, it would the remediation effort would be all state-of-the-art. What do you say to that?
Well, I just kind of have to laugh. They've tried so hard to make this sound like a lovely mine. I don't know that I've ever met one. But these tailings mountains will be very steep-sided, and it's going to be very difficult to get things to grow on those sides. There's a memo that has come out from the county recently exploring this issue and talking about how remediation is just really doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't mean anything. The valley will be gone, and the streams that come through that valley will be gone. And this is a real concern for that eastern side of the mountains. There's a number, dozens of springs that will disappear, which will be a problem for wildlife habitat. And because of the big pit, any water that's remaining on that side will kind of flow into the pit after it's empty, further dewatering the area, as it's called.
Mr. Pace was saying that they are on pace for getting this thing going, I think, 2012, I think that was the year. Do you think it will ever be that quick, or do you think the thing will ever get off the ground?
I really don't think it will ever happen, and it certainly won't happen by 2012. I mean, as I said, it's a complex issue. There's a lot of controversy. Our members of Congress oppose it. Most of our local elected officials oppose it. And we're trying our very best to make people understand, help people understand that what this will do to public land, that's really the issue. And whether they can pile waste mountains on public land is actually a legal issue, which we're going to be looking at in the courts.
Of course, there's the economic impact that Rosemont cites, all the jobs that this will bring in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we like to point out that the Roche Pharmaceutical just brought 500 jobs to Oro Valley, you know, without putting a pit in the ground to do it. We think there's lots of better ways to bring jobs to this community.
Gail Hartman will be with us, along with Kathy Arnold, who is Vice President for Energy Resources. I believe that's her title at Rosemont. We'll have Gail and Kathy together with me on our Friday Focus. That will be 1 week from tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. That should be very interesting. And, of course, a lot of this goes back to the 1872 mining law, doesn't it?
Yes, unfortunately it does. That was a law passed right after the Civil War in the term of President Grant. And its purpose was to, you know, kind of open up the West, as we would have said at that time. And it made it very easy to mine, particularly on National Forest Service land. There have been several attempts to reform that law. There was a very good bill in the last session of Congress, but it didn't pass, unfortunately, because of heavy lobbying from the mining industry.
Have you taken the Rosemont tour?
I haven't taken the tour. I've been out on the land quite a lot, and I've been to their meetings at the ranch. I know they certainly have a lot of people going on their tour, but we know also that they present a very positive view. They really don't address the negative issues.
Gail Hartman, Save the Scenic Santa Ritas. Your support firm, are you getting new members backing you all the time?
We certainly seem to. We get thousands and thousands of signatures on petitions, and we're planning to turn these into the Forest Service sometime in the next few months. I'm not even sure how many that is, 20,000, something like that. In addition, as I say, to elected officials. That's what's really unusual about this mine, is that the governmental officials are opposed to it.
Gail Hartman, we'll see you with Kathy Arnold 1 week from Friday on the Buckmaster Show on the Rosemont Mine. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
Let's take a break right now. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Let's do it.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
It's strange and wonderful.
You have a firm grasp of the obvious.
KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. The Japanese electric company that operates the damaged nuclear plant apologized for the problems they're having getting the situation under control. Through a translator, the company's CEO says he understands it's not just a concern for Japan.
We are very sorry for causing troubles and concerns to the international community, and we are making efforts to get more updates out to people overseas.
Radioactivity over 3,000 times the normal level was found in the Pacific Ocean near the plant. Muammar Gaddafi's forces are stepping up the attacks on the opposition in the Libyan cities of Misrata, Bin Jawad, and Ras Lanuf. Britain and the U.S. might give weapons to the opposition. At least one person was killed in violence after Syria's president made a speech today. Also, a woman had to be held back when she lunged toward the president's car. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 88 points. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Well, the economy is at it again. It's up, it's down, it's sideways. Frankly, it's confusing. At Advance Auto Parts, we're going to make things simple for you. Right now at Advance, we're offering you 5 quarts of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil plus a Fram Extra Guard oil filter for only $17.99. See store for details. We got the high-quality supply, you get the money-saving demand. That's economics everyone can appreciate. Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Another last-minute adventure from Hotels.com.
After 9 hours in the car, we were almost home from vacation.
Things were going well. Until...
Sparkles! We left my hamster!
Sparkles.
They headed back for Sparkles, but they didn't know about last-minute deals from Hotels.com.
So we slept... in our car!
Life happens, and when it does, Hotels.com has a last-minute deal. Find over 20,000 last-minute deals every week. Hotels.com. Be smart. Book smart.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
With 30 projects under construction, including work at La Cañada Drive and the First Avenue bus pullouts, the Regional Transportation Authority is delivering our promise to you already. RTA has completed 174 projects, including 5 major roadways, and launched transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars are creating jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer. Please be careful of workers in those areas and obey all traffic signs. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
It's 35 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show. Next Friday marks the 3-month anniversary of the assassination attempt on United States Representative Gabrielle Giffords of Arizona's 8th Congressional District. The Congresswoman was holding a Congress on Your Corner event at the Safeway when a gunman shot and killed 6 people and injured 19 others. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line, CJ Caramargian, who represents the Congresswoman here in Southern Arizona. CJ, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you. Give us an update on how the Congresswoman is doing.
She's doing great. Thanks for asking, and thanks for having me on the show to tell your listeners about things that are going on in our office and with the Congresswoman. I was in Houston a couple of weekends ago, and it was actually great to see her. She's really making amazing progress. The team at Tier Memorial Hermann is an amazing group of people. They are pushing her really hard, and she is pushing herself really hard. And the result are these milestones that we're seeing, you know, almost on a daily basis, as Mark Kelly, her husband, has said. When I was there, I got to be part of the reunion with the Congresswoman and her brother-in-law, who just returned from 6 months in the International Space Station. So that was very special.
How long do you think the Congresswoman will be there in Houston?
You know, I don't know, and I'm not sure if doctors know. I think based on the trajectory of her recovery, it's hard to say because she's making such quick progress. So I think that's something of an open question, but I think we're all very hopeful that it won't be very long at all.
Does she know, CJ, what happened not only to her, of course, but to the others that horrible day?
Well, as Mark said last week during his press conference with his shuttle crew that he held, the Congresswoman is slowly processing the implications of what happened. And, you know, for us, this tragedy, as you pointed out, is already 3 months old. For her, it is a lot newer, and she's just beginning to come to terms with that.
CJ, how are you doing? I know you were on your way to Phoenix that day, February 8th, and you could have easily have been there with the Congresswoman. You're usually at her side in Southern Arizona. How are you doing, and how is our friend Mark Kimball doing, and the others in the staff?
Oh, we're doing great, Bill. Thanks for asking. You know, it helps to be busy, and we're all very busy. I think we're busier now than we ever have been. Things aren't the same, though. There's no question about that. Ron Barber, our district director, is still out and recovering. We hope to have him back very soon. Pam Simon, who was also injured, the Congresswoman's community outreach coordinator, she's been back, and she's been very busy organizing art competitions and writing letters and representing the Congresswoman. So we're delighted about that. We are still trying to come to terms with the loss of Gabe Zimmerman, our colleague and friend who was killed that day, along with the other people, and that's still hard. But you know, I think we derive a lot of comfort from the fact that we're doing the work that the Congresswoman has asked us to do, and we are, as I said, almost busier than ever. We've actually experienced a spike in constituent casework requests, which caught us somewhat by surprise. So that's good. But it's a different world. It's a new normal that we're dealing with.
Since the shooting on January 8th, the casework, as you say, goes on. You had some a couple of Purple Heart ceremonies. There's been other business that constituents need to have taken care of that live in the district, and a lot of folks have stepped up to help, haven't they, CJ?
They have, and you know, that's a really important point that you made, Bill. The work does go on. People's problems with the federal government, with federal agencies, federal issues, they haven't gone away, and so we're still dealing with them. We've had quite a few notable successes. In my mind, I keep a list of things that I call the "can't wait to tell Gabby" list, and it's growing longer by the day. Our office was able to help a Tucson woman get out of Egypt as Cairo was erupting in pro-democracy demonstrations. We were able to help a Defense Department contractor clear his name. He was a victim of fraud, and he actually lost his security clearance and postponed his wedding because he didn't want to saddle his bride with this fraudulent debt. We were able to clear his name, and I actually attended the wedding a couple of weeks ago. Foreclosure cases, as you know, and you've spoken about this before, foreclosures are very high in Arizona. I think we're the second or third highest foreclosure rate in the nation. We were able to help a woman keep her property, property that's been in her family for 70 years, as she was grappling with foreclosure issues. These are the types of things that have always been a top priority for Congresswoman Giffords, and they always will be. She was determined when she took office in January 2007 to have the best constituent services operation around, and we are very busy making sure that there's no slack there.
C.J. Karamarjan is our guest on the Buckmaster Show right now. And, you know, C.J., I think here on the Buckmaster Show, the Congresswoman did her last interview with the media on our program here. And she talked about that first week of our show, the first week of January, about her priorities, definitely the border and military issues. And to that end, the Congresswoman's Tucson office, you and others, hosted two important visits by members of Congress last week.
Right. The Congresswoman has always placed a very high priority on bringing decision makers from Washington to the district so they can be better informed about some of the things that southeastern Arizonans deal with all the time. Military issues, veterans issues are very high on the Congresswoman's priority list, as are border security issues. Last week we brought Congressman Adam Smith from Washington here. He held a round of meetings. He is the ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee, on which Congresswoman Giffords also serves. He met with members of the DM-50, the Fort Huachuca 50, toured the base, met with some veterans groups, and it was a very productive meeting. And last Friday, we brought Congressman Ted Poe from Texas here. He toured the border, and we are now getting ready to work with his office to introduce a bill to improve cell phone communications in rural areas. You recall that the murder of rancher Rob Krentz took place just about a year ago, and one of the big issues there concerned the inability of law enforcement and ranchers to communicate with each other because of lack of cell phone service. So we have been working with Congressman Poe's office to introduce a bill that could remedy that situation. And I should point out that Congressman Smith is a Democrat, Congressman Poe is a Republican, and that right there, I think, is a great testament to the way Congresswoman Giffords has always worked, which is, you know, you have to address problems, and you have to work with everyone to address these problems in a bipartisan way to get the kinds of solutions that we need. And you know, we've always done that. She's always done that, and that's our guiding light.
You know, one very positive thing that that has happened here recently is this Save a Life Saturday that the Red Cross put on. I think there were 100 sites across America teaching people the new CPR. That's really a good deal.
It is. It's a very good deal. More than 11,000 people across the country learned basic life-saving skills, the kind of basic life-saving skills that our intern, Daniel Hernandez, used on January 8th to save the Congresswoman's life. I think what we're seeing here, Bill, is a great example of a community attempting to extract some good out of this terrible tragedy. And we know that that is something that the Congresswoman would definitely want. And teaching people these skills is a way to ensure that, you know, we're all prepared to confront the unexpected when we can. You never know when you might have to save a life. Someone choking, someone in a seizure, going through a seizure. So the Red Cross did a great effort, a great job in coordinating this, sponsored by Safeway and Walgreens. And, you know, years from now, some of the skills that were taught on that day could be used to help save someone's life. And I'm sure it'll all be worth it if just one life is saved.
C.J. Karamarjan, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show, giving us an update on what's going on at Congresswoman Giffords' office and an update on her condition. Thanks, C.J.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. It's coming up now on 46 minutes past the hour. Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek is next on the Buckmaster Show.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, 3 blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinker Verde at the southwest corner of Tinker Verde and Sabino Canyon and online at MedicineManGallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at MedicineManGallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Tucson's Regional Transportation Authority uses your tax dollars to create jobs and make local travel faster and safer. Transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle and the completion of 5 major roadways are examples of how RTA is delivering on our promises to you. With 174 projects completed and 30 under construction, such as the First Avenue bus pullouts and La Cunada Drive, RTA wants to remind you to be careful of road workers and to obey all traffic signs. RTA, delivering our promises to you.
It is 49 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show. Lead editorial today in the Arizona Daily Star says, if you're confused by a development deal on the west side that involves the city of Tucson, Gadsden Company, Chicago-based senior housing group LLC, and the federal and state governments, then you're not alone. That's just one reason City Manager Mike Letcher must avoid adding to the confusion by approving that deal, then failing to reveal the changes in it in a timely, transparent way. On the Buckmaster Show, live line is Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. Councilman Kasachek, thanks for being with us.
Bill, hi. Thanks for having me on.
Before
you try and ask me to untangle that special, may I just say that was a wonderful interview with CJ, and I think that everything he said about constituent services is a reflection on why so many of us across party lines have such a great regard for Gabby, and for not only for her, but for her whole staff, and that the work they do for the constituents around this community and this region. So I want to just thank you for having him on, and CJ, if you're still listening, what a great interview and what great work you all are doing on behalf of the Congresswoman now while she's recovering. So I just wanted to get that out because it was a wonderful things he said and wonderful work that staff is doing.
Yeah, I think that work has been praised nationally as one of the top constituent services offices of any office of Congress in the United States. They do a great job.
It should be a model for every public servant.
So this full Gadsden deal, what can you tell my listeners? What should they know about this deal?
Right now, what's going on is that it's not just Gadsden. There's, all the media reports that you see principally in the paper point at the Gadsden Company as the group that has the onus to bring this senior housing group project across the finish line. That's only partially correct. The city has obligations that they have yet to meet. So does the county, and so does the senior housing group. So what's going on right now is that there are four entities: Gadsden, the city, the county, and senior housing, who are all trying to finish up some of the necessary items that they that we have to do as a team before May 16th, so that this project can start coming up out of the ground. If it's a team effort, and if any one of the four don't come through, then the project is in trouble. So right now, it's not just Gadsden, but it's all four of us that are trying to pull things together. Frankly, at some level, the Gadsden company has been given a little bit of a bad rap because the city is relying on FEMA, the federal government, to provide some documentation to show that we've brought some of the property up out of a floodplain. The city hasn't gotten much leverage over the federal government in terms of getting our act, the city's act, together in a timely fashion. So we're kind of hoping and pushing and prodding that we get our part of it done. The county is balking at some of the costs associated with some of the work, so I would hope that the county jumps on board and Andy's up there, their chunk of cash, and Gadsden has their work to do too, so it's not just them.
Members of the media made a big deal out of City Manager Mike Letcher, who, by the way, will be our Friday Focus guest here at 9 a.m. on the Buckmaster Show, in that he did approve the deal back in January, but really, he didn't do anything illegal or improper, did he?
No, he didn't. Maybe imprudent, but not illegal. Given the heightened sense of sensitivity about this project, it might have been wise if Mike had brought the request to push the date back for closing on this to the city council and the mayor before he authorized it. That's a management decision that he made. It was not illegal, not improper. Maybe he'll consider it, but that's about as far as I go with that.
Councilman Steve Kasachek is our guest on the Buckmaster Show. As you know, we had Frank Antonori, state senator, on our Friday Focus last week, and he took issue with your recent op-ed piece about some of the lawmakers from Southern Arizona maybe not having Southern Arizona's best interests at heart.
Well, I'm sorry that he feels that way, but all you can do is look at some of the legislation that's coming out of Phoenix. They have stuck in committee right now a piece of legislation that would cap state shared revenues. They want to cap the number of employees that the city can hire at about approximately half the number that we have right now, and we're down to 1996 levels. They want to say that the city of Tucson salaries should be capped at 2007 levels, and at the same time force us to bid out to the private sector any project that we feel, or any service that we see is anticipated to exceed $75,000 in value. I would suggest to Mr. Antonori that the private sector is probably not going to be real competitive with the city if we're paying wage rates that are 5 years behind the times. I'm sorry that he feels that way, but you know, quite frankly, I'd like to see some of these guys step up to the plate and dig their heels in a little bit against Russell Pearson, some of the nonsense that I see coming out of Phoenix. For instance, the cuts to public education. The state constitution, I would refer Mr. Antonori to the state constitution, where it says that public education should be, quote, as nearly free as possible. If you're an in-state student at the U of A right now, you're paying in excess of $10,000. If you're out of state, it's over $25,000. That's nearly unattainable. That's not nearly free. I'd like to see some of the cuts in education rolled back and these guys dig their heels in and protect their constituents of the University of Arizona in Tucson that he's supposed to represent. So I'm sorry he feels that way, but I'll go toe-to-toe with Mr. Antonori on these kinds of things any time. Some of the preemptive gun legislation that they've inflicted on this community to open up city parks and the university campus to guns, irrespective of whether or not somebody has passed a background check, I take exception with those kinds of things as well. Some of the immigration laws that you will see that they ran away from 2 weeks ago when some of the business community, i.e. their campaign supporters, wrote them a letter and said, yeah, you guys are making an embarrassment out of this state. You know, how about a little bit of principled policy making instead of this ideological knee-jerk reaction? This is about policy, not party. And so if he feels that way, I'm sorry, but I think they're just flat wrong on some of this stuff.
Yeah, let's talk about downtown, a subject very close to your heart. Downtown is coming back. There is no question about it. Private investment is leading the way. If you don't think so, take a walk downtown. Things are happening there. And then this deal with the U of A now getting involved with private developers to build student apartments downtown, that's huge.
It really is. And you know what? If this streetcar is going to make any sense, what you're saying is an example of exactly what has to happen. from a return on investment standpoint. The university is stepping up to the plate. They're building some student housing that will not only have the effect that you mentioned, which is to say economic, but it's also going to relieve some of the pressure on the neighborhoods that are surrounding the campus for student housing going up. It really is a huge issue right now, also in the media, the Jefferson Park mini-dorm thing. So that's a big deal. Some of the private sector, small local businesses that are popping up, people investing their own venture capital in these businesses, not the city or not the state, stepping up and putting taxpayer money at risk. These are good things, and these are things that are creating jobs, and that's what we're going to have if we're going to pull ourselves out of this budget hole that we're in right now.
And I know you would like some of our listeners who haven't been downtown in ages to come downtown and just take a walk around, huh?
You know, a great opportunity for that is the second Saturday of every month. In fact, oddly, it's called Second Saturdays, and it begins at about 6 p.m., and just come down to campus, walk down 4th Avenue under the underpass, make a right on Congress, and head on down past the Rialto, past the Hotel Congress, toward the Fox Theater, and you will see activities that you would not have imagined if you haven't been down there in the recent past. It is absolutely busy, and it's fun stuff. It's family-friendly stuff, and I just invite anybody listening to come down there on the second Saturday of April and join in the fun.
We are quickly running out of time. You want to make a quick comment about the SunTran bus fares. Where is that right now?
There will be a public hearing coming up first part of April, and people have an opportunity to come down to the city council. We'll have a one-hour-long public hearing, and people have a chance to speak their piece as to whether or not they feel the fare increases are warranted or necessary. We are trying to fill a $55 million budget hole, and the Tucson Citizens Transit Task Force recommended some fare increases to the mayor and council. My honest opinion is right now I feel that they are warranted. That is part of the piece of the puzzle that we're trying to put together in terms of budget balancing. But we have not decided yet, and so come on down April 5th, I believe, is the date of the public hearing, and let your voices be heard.
You took a little bit of heat for saying it's only 20 cents, the increase.
I wish that had been taken in full context. The full context of the statement was something along those lines. We are facing a $55 million budget deficit. SunTran receives a $35 million subsidy. We have not raised low-income bus fares for over a decade. We're talking about going from 40 cents to 60 cents, and in that context, I don't have a problem moving it up 20 cents. The only part of that comment that was quoted was, I don't have a problem moving it from 40 to 60 cents, and it made it sound like it was a flippant, ill-considered comment. It was made in the context of the entire budget conversation that we're having and the fact that it's been over a decade since we've raised these. And, in fact, the last time the city raised bus fares was about 11 years ago, and it went from 35 to 40 cents. So in the total context of what we're talking about, no, I don't have a problem raising it 20 cents, and yet take the comment in the context of the entire budget conversation.
Steve Kasachek, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Bill. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Steve Kasachek on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants. Get your tax questions ready. Mike Flowers will be here Thursday at 9:30 to answer your tax questions. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great day.
Are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Local talk at its best.
Up next, you won't believe what's going to happen.
This is Tucson's Jolt. KJLL, South Tucson.